It was begun last January and worked on for about 3 months, at which time I had to put it down for a month or so because Fleetwood Mac at that time was beginning their next studio album, and I went to France to begin tracking for that. And then I picked it up and finished it off over the summer. So it was about 5.5 months in the making.
I understand it was recorded, part of it was recorded on a 24 track.
Yeah, it was all recorded on a 24, but the first half was done really more or less in a garage atmosphere. It was done in a storeroom of a small studio out in beautiful downtown Burbank, California, and with just a couple of mics. And I was engineering and played all the instruments. I played almost all the instruments on the whole album. the first half was done with that kind of atmosphere in mind. And when we got back from France, then we took what we had at that point and what I had done on my own, which was about 65% of the entire work, and finished it off with Richard Dashett, who is co-producer, one of the co-producers of Fleetwood Mac, and finished off in a more conventional studio surrounding and mixed it there.
How do you decide which songs you want to write for a solo album and which songs you'd like to contribute for a Fleetwood Mac project?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the timing. There were many of the songs on this album were already written even before we got off the road. And at that time, last October, I knew probably that I would be doing a solo album, so I just started thinking in terms of fitting those all together. That has a lot to do with it. The other thing is really the style in which it's done. There are probably quite a few songs on this album which could have been on a Fleetwood Mac album. The only thing that really differentiates between which song works for which style is the process by which it's done. I'd like to make the comparison that doing a Fleetwood Mac album, or for that matter working with any group of musicians, is more or less like doing a movie, because there's a lot more organizational problems. Once you've got the basic track, almost every idea is discussed before it's done. It's a very conscious kind of process. There are a lot of links in the chain from point A to point B. Working as this album was done, certainly the first half especially, where you're totally responsible for everything, you're alone, you're in a sense in solitary confinement. It's more like doing a painting, because you develop a much more intimate relationship with the work, and you use your intuition a lot more. You can exert your original preconceptions and ego over the canvas or the work, as it were. But then maybe at some point the work starts taking over, and you have to develop a sense of give and take with the work and trust your intuition. And you can go for hours sometimes in that process or in that state and suddenly come up with something you never expected to come up with. So I think a lot of what defines, say, a Lindsey Buckingham song or a Fleetwood Mac song is really the process by which it's done, the painting versus the movie, if you want to make that comparison. One of the reasons that I like to work this way is because I do quite often hear a whole thing in my head, and you try to pursue that, and the easiest way to pursue that is to do it yourself rather than to try to verbally explain it to somebody else. On the Tusk album, many of the songs that I wrote on that album were done in a similar way. In other words, I played all the instruments on them, but this is a slightly more refined version of that in terms of the process. One thing I wanted to do, which I felt, in a sense, failed on the Tusk album, was to really get solid drum tracks. That possibly was part of the charm of some of the tunes on the Tusk album, but I wanted to get solid drum tracks. So you're talking about process. I played the drums first. You always put down a click track, a metronome track first, so that you have something very solid to play to, especially if you're going to do the drums first. There's another thing that I tried on this album, which I had wanted to do more on the Tusk album, which was get a more hesitated feel on the drums. In other words, Charlie Watts, or Mick is a good example as well, but Charlie Watts is probably the definitive example of someone who hesitates his snare beat. In other words, maybe the keyboards and the guitars are in a certain place in their timing, and the drum is slightly behind that. You know, so you've got like that, not quite that pronounced.
But
and if that we're not there, you know, most hits, in fact, all hits have that aspect to the drumming. So the problem was how to do that when you're overdubbing everything yourself. So what I ended up doing was recording the click track or the metronome track, sending it through a delay device, and re-recording it onto track 24. Say, so on track 1 you've got the original, on track 24 you've got maybe a 30 millisecond delay of the click. Then you play the drums to the delayed click, and you can play other instruments to the first thing, and it starts to stretch the feel out a little bit. Another technique I use in the studio quite a bit is using a VSO I'm sure you know what that is, but for people who may not know, it stands for variable speed oscillator. And by slowing the machine down and let's go on and playing the track and then speeding it back up, you not only thin out your sound, but you also can improve your feel. You can get a more accurate timing on the drums. So I use that on a lot of things. I used it on guitars all the time. The song Trouble has a riff in the chorus that has not just a VSO but a half speed guitar. In other words, it's recorded, the guitar is recorded at 30 inches per second, or the track is at 30 inches per second, and you slow the machine down to 15 IPS and record it. And then
going back to Tusk, you mentioned it earlier. Some of the songs were about Fleetwood Mac, or about relationships in the band, and perhaps rumors as well.
Rumors for sure. Yeah, Rumors. That was one of the things that sold the Rumors album, was because it was the musical soap opera. Every song was about breaking up, or was about something that had happened during the time we were recording the album.
So, what about the solo album? I mean, is that about you as an individual, or is it about you in relation to the people that you've met since Rumors?
Well, first of all, before I tell you what I know about that, let me explain that I am not a poet. I don't pretend to be. In fact, lyrics are one of the least important things to me. Hopefully, the feeling that comes through the album comes from the style in which it's done. And having said that, the songs on the album tend to be about relationships. The title, people say, why did you call it Law and Order? Law and Order in this case doesn't have anything to do with society needing law and order, or, you know, police or anything like that. It has to do with having a sense of order in your life, a sense of discipline, trying to establish a sense of discipline and make commitments to things that you care about. Make commitments to your work and be serious about your work. Make commitments to relationships. So much of the time you see people, a lot of people that I know, who don't make a commitment to a relationship, and so they're constantly having disposable relationships, or they're constantly being with someone until they're confronted with some complication, at which time they reject what's going on. And if you really want to take the responsibility for someone else's life, in a sense, and make a commitment, then then you've got to be able to accept a certain amount of pain with the happiness. And that's what the title means. I could give you examples. Maybe the best examples on the album are the songs that I didn't write. There are three songs on the album that I didn't write, and they all exemplify that line of thinking. It Was I is sort of the beginning point of that, where perhaps you start out very young. It's a very adolescent perspective on experiencing pain in a relationship, and the singer is explaining what wrong has been done to him, but by the end of the song he still is making the choice to continue on with it, and it's a very optimistic song despite the pain of the song. September Song is the inverse of that, in a sense. It's someone who is in the twilight years, if you will, and is probably confronting the prospect of death very soon, and has already gained that perspective of how the pain relates to the happiness, and realizes how much meaning that can give your life, as opposed to always rejecting a situation as soon as that is apparent. And he's supposedly been with the same partner all that time, and he's deriving whatever meaning there is left from sharing the time left and reflecting on his life with his partner. And Satisfied Mind is sort of a general thing, just about the choices that you have, pursuing monetary or pursuing materialism, or or pursuing the love and affection of and respect of other people. And so all those songs relate to each other in a sense, and it may seem a little fundamental, but so much of rock today really promotes the opposite point of view. It promotes anarchy and promiscuity and escapism, which is all right, but that's just the way the title relates to what's going on, and some of the other songs also relate to that. So I hope that answers your question in a very roundabout way.
You live on the West Coast, I understand, and have worked there and use its influence, I suppose, to a large extent in the work that you do as a solo artist and with Fleetwood Mac. I mean, is there somewhere else in the world that you'd like to live? For example, Mick Fleetwood went
to live
Africa,
in Australia,
for
right?
example. Well, I don't know if he wants to live in Australia.
No, he tells everyone he wants to live in Australia. I have a lot of specific ideas, and I don't think I need to go somewhere else to draw out. I may like to do that at some point in the future, but we all have our own approaches. Los Angeles is not particularly influential as a city. It just happens to be a place that we need to live right now because the band is all based in Los Angeles, and to a great extent the record industry is based out of Los Angeles. I'm from Northern California, and it's very pretty up there, and I miss it quite a bit at times, but we all have to be in Los Angeles right now, and so it's really the only practical place to live.
Well, your solo is just out, and Mick Fleetwood's The Visitor is out. I mean, it's a time where the various members of Fleetwood Mac seem to be getting their own individual ideas mm-hmm. out and recording them. Will Stevie and Christine be doing things themselves?
Well, Stevie does have a solo album out already that's probably hasn't done as well here, but it's done very, very well in the States. The only reason that you see this all happening at the same time is because... Well, people forget that we very seldom have any time off. We, ever since Stevie and I joined the band, it's been a case of rehearsing to go in the studio, going in the studio, maybe taking a month off at the most or less, usually, rehearsing to go on the road, doing a year or longer, maybe a year and a half tour, taking a month off, rehearsing to go in the studio. So it's been a constant job. When we finished the tour in support of the Tusk album, October of 1980, we just made the collective decision to take about 7 months off for the first time and let everyone do something for themselves as opposed to for the collective good, which is always how it is. There's always that pressure of giving of yourself for the good of the whole, which is what a group is all about. But, you know, I think it's been very constructive for us to have the time off. So that's really the reason you see all these... individual expressions coming out at the same time.
Part English band and part American, Britain's always been a popular place for Fleetwood Mac. What are your recollections? What are your thoughts on this country?
Well, I think it's beautiful here. We all are having our problems as nations right now. I haven't seen as much of England as I would have liked to. I think one of the things that happens to me is that when you're on the road, the motivation to go out is not... You're constantly on the move, so the motivation to go out and be a tourist is not as great as it would be if you were coming to England or any country specifically to be a tourist. Another thing that keeps me in my room is that I take a Tascam 8-track on the road with me, and they wheel it in like a piece of luggage, and it's got the speakers and all the electronic guts, and I just plug it in and start overdubbing in my room, so... I don't get out a lot, see. I stay in my room.
Whenever solo albums come out, sadly, we never, well, by and large, never hear people play them when they're in the band that they're usually with, and in your case,
right.
Fleetwood Mac. I mean, will we actually hear some of the Lindsey Buckingham songs from the solo album Law & Order?
On a Fleetwood Mac tour, you mean? Well, if there is time, I would love to do some touring on my own with a group. I think that most of the songs on the album lend themselves quite well to being done live. As far as a Fleetwood Mac, doing them in a Fleetwood Mac set, I think Fleetwood Mac's already got a problem with too much material as it is. And, we were trying to cram it in on our last tour, and we were doing a set which was verging on being too long at that point for my taste. And this time around, we're going to have even more stuff to try to cram in there, so we're going to have a problem of taking stuff out. I think we'd only be giving ourselves another problem to try to cram in some original stuff or some individual stuff as well. I don't think there's really going to be a need for it in the set.
you're on a whirlwind tour promoting the solo album here in Britain today, and who knows, Europe tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. Who knows? Yeah, I did a whole week of this sort of thing in Los Angeles, and then another week around the United States in like Chicago and New York and various other places, Toronto, and it's closing in on being a week here in Europe. So but at the same time, you spend 5 or 6 months doing an album. I guess you might as well do a few weeks. Up to a point, anyway, to support it as well, if it's going to help it out. You know, you want people to know about the album.